Lord, come down before my son die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember a couple of years ago when Father Tricata was progressing in his illness and getting worse, and as time went on, he had taken a turn, really, and needed to go to the hospital, declared himself that he really wanted to go to the hospital. And the day that he was to be admitted, I was set to be going on the road for a mission trip. And so that morning I helped him into the car so that he could be taken in to be treated. And as I saw him and I led him to the door and saw how frail and sick he really was, I thought to myself that this might be the last time I see you, my friend. And with that, I closed the door of the car and he was taken into the hospital. He was there for nearly a week, and while he was there, of course, you couldn't really visit because it was in those dreaded times of 2020. But during that time, we would get little reports from day to day as to what was taking place. And every report was that this specialist had come in to visit him, and one that was running this test, and this person was poking and prodding and drawing blood and doing this procedure, and one thing after another, one specialist after another, cardiologist, neurologist, oncologist, all of them came and saw Father Tricata, and all did their tests, and all did their little procedures, and all went about their merry little way. And it was only at the end of the week that finally a nurse called Bishop Dolan to talk about palliative care, essentially hospice for him, because at the end of the day he was dying. And it was clear to me when he went in that this was probably the logical outcome. And all throughout the week he did nothing but deteriorate further. And yet all the while, nobody took a step back to look at the man. They each look at their little specialty. They each recommended certain little treatments for certain tests. And nobody thought about the person until the end. And so finally with that, Bishop Dolan arranged for him to come home. And sure enough, having come home, he didn't make it more than 24 hours. For us, we look around now, and we see our country and our world, and we realize that it is in a very similar state. It doesn't take much to see this. You don't have to look hard or find it. It's apparent all around us. But the question is, what do we do about the situations that we find ourselves in? The world, if we listened to it, it would tell us to see the specialists. It would call one in after another. And again, it would tell us that we need to address the certain symptoms that we are seeing all around us. The problems here and there, we need to focus on this and put an end to that, or stop this from getting any further down the line. And wait, if you have somebody new come in here and look at this, they'll come about it a different manner. And yet all the while, it ignores what the underlying root cause of our problems are. It gives us largely useless treatments for our situation, to make us feel good, to make us feel like we are doing something to better our situation. But in reality, that's all it is. It is a placebo to make you feel like you are doing something, rather than realizing that it is merely and truly a distraction, so that you don't see and focus on that root cause, that you don't actually take the correct action that helps the whole. The reality of it, if we take that step back, if we look at society, the man, the whole, as one entire being, and look to see what is transpiring, it is a spiritual sickness that our world is undergoing. And it is a spiritual sickness that we were foretold about to transpire. On Friday, we celebrated the last of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima from 1917. And she asked during those apparitions from May to October, in that time frame, she asked at one of them for a specific thing to happen. She asked that Russia be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart. And if it didn't transpire, well, then it would spread its errors, Russia that is, would spread its errors throughout the entire world. That would be what was coming to that country in that same year, the spread of communism. And so, year after year went by, the popes knew of the need of this, and all the while, it never transpired. It never happened. And so now we find ourselves living in the consequences of not obeying Our Lady. The spiritual sickness sets in. And it lays its foundation, and it builds up from there, and so the entire being is sick. It starts with societies as a whole, and ridding them of any kind of government that has any kind of basis in the supernatural. Now secular rule is to be what reigns supreme. Now secular societies are what are supposed to be the superior societies. Gone are the days in which you had kings and rulers who had a mindset that their responsibility was the good of their people, and that they one day would answer to God for how they served them. Instead, now it was viewed as a point of power to be gained, an influence to be had and wielded, and personal prosperity to be achieved. These secular societies slowly pushed God out of the picture. Man no longer believed with his heart, no longer believed with his actions. And if he did, well, that was something to be relegated behind closed doors, not to be spoken of in polite company. That is a private matter. From there, as society fell, so it influenced into the church. And then came rolling modernists. And then came the corruption of what is holy and good. And in came their influence to tear down the last beacon of light in the world, the true source of truth and goodness, Christ's church, the Catholic Church. Disrupting the hierarchy, turning away the sacraments, taking away the sacrifice, and corrupting the beliefs until it was merely a shell of itself. And from the corruption of faith came the destruction of morality. And man left to his base passions, simply searching after simple pleasures, simply acting more and more animalistic. Until debauchery of the animals was not enough, and even nature itself had to be turned upon its head. And the common law, the basic Ten Commandments inscribed on man's soul, these two were ridiculed and cast aside. And with that, we look around and we wonder how we end up where we are today. How is it that we come to this point where we can't make sense of where society is headed? We think about 2020 as this great cataclysm that took place. But I promise you, the disease certainly wasn't COVID. Again, it was merely a symptom, a point to divide, a point to distract, a point to cause confusion so that the powers that be may further their aim of spreading that disease, communism. And so it became mask or no mask, jab or no jab, immigrants coming in or stopping at the border. One riot for a cause, another is an insurrection, voting, who are you going to choose, which hat are you going to wear, what color is behind it, which candidate is yours. Soon became war. Which flag will you fly? Which country will you support? All the while, man is left to listen to lies as they are fed to him and bent to believe that he has to choose one side or another. To believe that one person's war crimes are justified while another's are morally reprehensible. To believe that all of this and more that we have seen, that we can just simply vote it away. But we can't. It doesn't matter anymore. They are two sides to the same coin. They are two groups driven by one agenda. They are certainly not the best and brightest. All the while, this is what distracts us. Where do you get your lies from? Fox or CNN? Nobody truly finds the truth anymore, except for us, if we know where it lies and we realize for ourselves that we are being distracted by mere symptoms. Because when we can look past all that, then we can find where we can do good. The sickness, it is a spiritual sickness. That is at its root cause. And it is exactly what Our Lady of Fatima told us would transpire. So, why not look back to her for where the good to be done can be found? She makes it very simple for us. If you look at each of the apparitions, May through October, she says various things, she talks about various points, but when you boil it all down, there are two things she asks of you and I. Number one, she asks us to sacrifice. And number two, she asks for prayers, most especially those of the Holy Rosary. The sacrifice. We cannot save our souls if we do not sacrifice. We cannot save our souls if we do not take up our sliver, our tiny little share in the cross of our Lord. The choice is ours to do so, and the question becomes how? We think to ourselves, well, what did the saints do of sacrifice? Well, I read this about a saint who scourged himself each and every night to the point of blood. And this saint, he fasted for 40 days, three times a year, and this one lived off of bread and water for a number of years. These are not the sacrifices we are called to. Quite frankly, they are far beyond us. But as the spiritual writers talk about, that does not excuse us from sacrificing. First and foremost is to share in the sacrifice of our Lord by attending to the sacrifice of our Lord. In a world which is devoid so often of the true sacrifice of the Mass, we are blessed to have it every single week. Here, Christ comes down from heaven and is present amongst us. Here he dwells within our tabernacles. Here he offers himself to us in Holy Communion. Here we can be truly united to him. And we come. We come on Sundays because we have to. But we look and we realize that there are other opportunities too. And I understand people's states in life and the people's distance and various aspects of life. They affect how often and how frequently we are able to be here. But the question is that we have to ask ourselves, do we look for the opportunities to be able to be here? Or do we find the excuse to allow us to stay away? And then after that, when we look to our daily lives, we wonder, what sacrifice does God want of me? Many of the spiritual writers of our times, they speak of exactly what Saint Therese taught so clearly. That is little Therese, not today's Teresa. I'm sure she'd agree too, though. They taught that our daily lives offers us ample opportunity to sacrifice. Regularly, there are opportunities placed before us to do this well. Part of it is doing our daily duties to the best of our abilities. Paying attention to those details. Not complaining about the hardships. Doing what is required of us. And spiritualizing those actions, offering them back as an offering to God. Because each and every time we know that that duty requires us to make a choice to do what we must rather than what we want. Then we rise above that and realize that each and every time the temptation comes our way in a world that is oftentimes too dark and clouded with them, to stay strong and to fight against them, each one is a sacrifice. To realize that at times hardships come our way. What we truly desire is not attained. The direction we see our life going steers in a different way. Each one a little piece of the cross for us to bear. Sickness and difficulties and hardships are part of regular life. We can't even avoid these. But do we capitalize on using them? Do we spiritualize them? Do we offer them for intentions? Do we try to make them to benefit our souls? Do we look merely to fight temptation? Or do we strive to operate in virtue? These are the ways in which we can sacrifice, in which we can grow and sanctify ourselves. And then in addition to that, Our Lady asks for prayer. Not a prayer, not occasional prayer, but constant prayer. Most especially through that sacramental, the Holy Rosary, her devotion. She asks for this for peace. On Friday, we had the Rosary for Peace. All 15 decades offer here. We weren't able to have the procession due to the rain. But the prayers, that is what she cares most about. And that is what she got. Some were here, others were not. I don't ask the question of why, but I merely make the point. We honor Our Lady through those 15 decades. That is a good thing. But from that public devotion, which is what inspires us, we draw private devotion as well. That we continue it onwards, day after day. That we remember that when we're tired and we do not want to, that the effort to be made is for good and for peace. That these things are the actual remedies to the illness in which we find ourselves stricken. And it allows us to keep our focus on what can really and truly obtain good. But what our Lord asks of us to do, we are just like that ruler in the gospel. He gives us a command through his mother: sacrifice and pray. He doesn't ask us to do those other things, not to worry about those symptoms. Focus on the root and the solution. And in doing so, it's so easy for us to say, yeah, but I want to do it. I feel like I should be. What else should I? No. Focus on that and put your faith into it. Abandon yourself to that cause. Our Lord did not descend down to visit the man's son. He told him to go his way because his son lived. The man did as God commanded and found it to be true because of his faith. Our Lord, through Our Lady, has commanded, and if we do it, we will find that we will do good. And true healing can be achieved. And that the symptoms will not be mitigated for a fraction because of the little so-called balms of the world that we could put on them, but rather that they will heal from the inside because of good prayers and sacrifices, like people such as us. May God bless you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.